are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, who drinks more whiskey, men or women? The surprising answer and tips on picking a great American bottle of Rotgut. Manny the movie guy joins us with his reviews for the weekend. And your wife deserves a bonus, kind of like the one bankers give theirs at the end of the year, if they perform at or above expectations. Let's meet the friends. We're lucky again to have her with us. It's Ms. California United States sports and entertainment reporter Sandy Charles.
You know, Phil, it's only been about 12 hours. I'm already missing him, and I think I took for granted Letterman.
If he squints, he can almost see you sitting there listening to the program. It's Chris Martin.
A new technology is coming that will have you seeing rats running across storage containers 400 yards across the ocean port.
Hey, I tried that just a minute ago. All right, good. Thanks again for being here, Sandy. It's always great to see you, and we know that you have a busy schedule, and so to carve out a little time in your calendar to spend some time in the studio with us, it's just a blessing, and it's great to see you, as always. It's always good to see you. Do people say that? Hey, I like looking at you.
No, I actually did get coffee on the way in here, and the guy was like, your eyes are so pretty, and I was like, thanks, but I mean, you're always caught off guard.
Yes, that's right.
But thank you.
Speaking of coffee, a little later in the program, the question posed, and we'll have the scientific facts behind it, is coffee nature's Viagra? All right, let's get started with you now. Yeah, I watched the very last David Letterman. I probably watched the first one. I used to watch his daytime show. I watched him on NBC at night. I watched him on CBS at night. Probably, I didn't see 6,000 plus shows, which is how many he did, but I certainly saw a lot of David Letterman. How about you?
Growing up, always.
Yes.
I have five brothers, and we would watch it every single night. As I got older, I really stopped watching, and last night, watching the final one made me really sad because I took for granted this amazing host that had these amazing visitors and of all sorts all over the world with their great stories, and I took that for granted that it would always be there, and it made me really sad last night.
Yeah, and it was did you see the show last night, Chris?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, I thought, you know, as far as final shows go, it didn't really deviate that much from a typical David Letterman show. It was more or less the way he would do a regular night. They just had a little nostalgia built into that. Mm-hmm. And a couple of things I thought were strikingly missing. There was no reference to Richard Simmons. I don't know if you noticed that.
No, I didn't.
He used to be on the show a lot, but no reference to Richard Simmons. The two must be feuding, or I can't imagine how he would be left out. But you're right. Letterman has always been there, and you know, mm-hmm. people always think about Jay Leno and now all the other guys that are on TV, all with the same name, as being the hipper hosts, you know?
Yeah.
But Letterman, no matter how old he got, was always really the hippest guy. He would bring the musicians on before mm-hmm. anybody knew who they were and basically tell us what the cool music was a year or two before we knew it.
100%. Yeah. And even for Foo Fighters to come back and be on it, they're one of my favorites.
Yes.
And I respect them and I love their music and I loved everything. He was ahead of it. And
yeah.
I always...
Were you surprised with that story? Because I did not know that. After he had his heart surgery and his producer asked him who he'd like to have on the show, and he asked for Foo Fighters. And, you know, again, here's an old guy. He's older than me. I'm an old guy, and Letterman's older than me, and he's looking for some pretty happening, cool music to be on the show, and likes Foo Fighters and mm-hmm. likes a particular song. Okay, Grandpa, you like Foo Fighters? Great. Does that make them less cool? Perhaps not, because Letterman's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And the producer says, well, no, we think that might be a tall order, and she checks into it and finds out they're on tour in South America, and you heard the story. What happened?
I heard it. They left their tour and went for the night to perform for David.
Yeah.
And then right after they were done, got back on the plane and went back to tour in South America.
How about that? And that's the kind of respect a guy
exactly.
who is tapped in
respect.
And is cool
mm-hmm.
gets. Yeah. So he's going to be missed. Going to miss Paul Schaefer and the band and just the show in general because if you're as old as I am, you know how much David Letterman pulled from the old Steve Allen show. And Letterman will tell you that he used to watch hours and hours of Steve Allen on videotape. and pulled so many ideas from there, but then made them his own and turned them into something special. And it was a great show. And all the interesting characters, and you see things that Jimmy Kimmel pulls from Letterman by bringing everyday average people in onto the show and making them regular characters. Like Letterman has his Rupert G, and he has Pat Farmer and Kenny. Did Kenny die? Pat Farmer's. You remember Kenny? He was the short guy with the cigarette, and Pat Farmer's the stagehand or the stage manager. Anyway, all these regular guys and Biff Henderson that would come out on the show, and they were interesting. They were funny in that they were just regular people. And Letterman would have fun with regular people, with kids and folks at the pizza parlor and whatever it was. And that's how we connected to what Letterman
he's
was, because he was real. Even though he's a rich guy in a big house and somewhere in Connecticut, you know, or a ranch in Montana or Wyoming, wherever it is. Is it Montana? I think it's Montana. Big rich guy, right?
Yeah.
He's really down to earth.
He can connect to anybody of all walks of life anywhere. And that's what made him beautiful and special and... Yeah. I wish I paid attention longer.
Yeah, well, okay, fine. Because, we're going to have to wait and see what happens with his replacement with Stephen Colbert. He's not until September, is he?
Yeah, they're going to have a lag between when Stephen Colbert comes on and obviously this final show. And they're actually going to have, like, variety shows happening regularly for the next several weeks until Stephen Colbert starts.
Not Letterman reruns?
No.
Oh.
There might be some of those mixed in as well, but they're going to give some people a chance. Like, I even think the girls from The Talk are going to get a chance. Julie Chen and all those girls are going to get a chance
great.
To do it for a week.
That's that Julie Chen's, she's got the meal ticket, doesn't she? I mean, she's Les Moonves. He runs the joint over at CBS. And as long as they're married, she gets a show or three. Is that how that works?
That's what it's looking like.
Yeah. Watch them come in and smash it in the ratings, and then they're going to have to... juggle with whether or not they're going to have Colbert do it or some other host that's going to be doing
it
temporarily.
Sounds like a plan B to me. Well. All right. Enough about Letterman. What a
14
great...
million viewers, by the way, last night.
That is huge.
Big numbers, especially in today's television age.
Yeah. So thanks for that little tidbit. But David Letterman will always be remembered, and hopefully by folks as young as five or six these days, because he used to like talking to the kids, too.
There's always YouTube. He'll live on in perpetuity.
Yeah, in perpetuity. Yes. All right. So on to more television news, and I get sucked into this program because I live at home with a wife and three daughters, right? Four queens beats a joker, so there's no way to get around watching The Bachelorette.
Mm-hmm.
And my theory was, it was a two-night preview. They had 25 guys vying for the affections of, at least initially, two bachelorettes from a previous Bachelor season. You got the totally hot Brit and the kind of hot but interesting and kind of wacky and Caitlin from Canada.
Right.
And the Bachelors, the 25 of them, have to pick which one they want to be the Bachelorette for this season. Kind of an interesting concept.
Would have been more interesting to keep them both, in my opinion.
Well, this is what I thought they were going to do, because they had a drunk guy, a serious, sloppy drunk dude, who ultimately gets kicked out of the opening night, and they don't count his rose. The guy's got to put a rose in the box and to pick which bachelorette they want to stay. And his rose hits the floor because he tosses it at the wall. And as soon as I saw all of that, I'm thinking, this guy's a plant. They want to take the odd number out and make it 24 so that each of the gals gets 12 roses in their box. They're going to keep both girls on just to keep it interesting. But ultimately, did that happen?
No. I was hoping that would happen.
Because I didn't see the second night.
No, the second night, Caitlin was crowned the Bachelorette.
Mm. She's the more interesting Canadian gal.
Yeah, I guess you got it more interesting. She for better TV, yes.
Yeah, because Britt's pretty.
Britt's
and
pretty.
She's got a nice, you know, sincere, she looks you in the
she's
eyes.
Genuine.
But once you get past that, it's boring.
I don't think the guys trust her either, because they know a lot about both girls from them being on The Bachelor, and Britt was always, her story was never consistent.
You know what's the most interesting thing about Britt, aside from the fact that she's very pretty?
Her hair?
She bathes like once a week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
She's either covered in perfume or she's a stinky girl.
Yeah.
Supposed to be good for your skin. lets your natural oils come out.
Yeah.
Being a girl and having really long mermaid hair.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? That is the kind of self-awareness and manipulation you come to expect from a pretty girl, because she knows she's so pretty, no matter how bad she smells, guys are still going to be on her like flypaper.
Well, you say she smells bad. I say there's nothing wrong with a little bit of must.
Yeah. Must or musk?
You must have some musk.
Oh, there you go. Good.
At least that's fixable. You can still fix it. That's not a character flaw, I guess you could say. My theory, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I am the only female in here.
As far as we know.
Yeah, exactly. With a girl between Caitlin or Britt.
Yeah.
Are men intimidated by the type of woman that Britt is? She is a little more conservative, and she's beautiful. Caitlin's safe. She's not that. I mean, she's pretty, but you know what? Is there an intimidation factor? Are men ever intimidated by?
Oh, yeah. You know what? You know who's not intimidated by uber pretty girls? Jerks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the drunk guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's why you always see on the talk shows the supermodel sitting down with a David Letterman or a Leno or whoever it is, and they always say, well, I didn't have any boyfriends in high school and college, and that's because, yeah, and when I did have a boyfriend, he ended up just being a jerk. Sure. That's because the jerks think enough about themselves to walk right up to the prettiest girl in the room and just say something rude, and she hasn't been asked out by anybody, so she ends up saying yes, and that just feeds his ego some more, and it ends up just being brutally terrible, and they break up. All the good guys out there are scared to death and don't know what to say to a pretty girl like that.
That makes total sense. And that's why I feel they chose the safe girl, which it turns out in the previews for episodes, she's not so safe. So it'll be interesting to see this season on The Bachelorette.
I just think she's a lot of fun. Just fun to watch, and you never know. She likes telling a joke. She's a little goofy, and she's got her flaws. She's like a real human being.
Yeah.
I heard she's a whore.
Is she?
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
That's what's going around the room.
Well, the previous series, when she was on The Bachelor, she got up on a pier and took off her bikini and jumped in the water.
Now, if we're honest, is that these guys are in it for marriage, if we're all being honest?
Yeah. Is that marriage material?
Is that exactly? And that's, if you want marriage material, they probably should have chose Britt. Now, if they want the good time and, you know, just the one night whatever, Caitlin.
Yeah.
So it is good TV, I guess.
It's all bogus. Neither of them want marriage out of this. They want to be on TV.
They want fame.
Yeah.
They want the easy fame.
Exactly. Oh, look what time it is. Let's see. Coming up next on the program, if you could see for miles and miles and miles and miles, would you pay for that procedure if it was available to you? Well, maybe not miles and miles, but maybe down the block. If you could see the kid on a bike with the newspapers headed your way from about a quarter mile, would that be a benefit to you? Okay, that's a bad example. But you know what I'm saying? The amazing new procedure. Next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Chris is here. Sandy Charles, Ms. California, United States.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi.
Great to see you. All right. So, and we're happy you're here, too. I want bionic eyes, Chris. I want to be able to see for a long, long way. I used to have pretty good, what I used to call hunter's eyes. I could look out into a field and see a little field mouse walking around in the grass from a long way away, or see a bird, you know, on a tree from a long, long way. I can't do that anymore. I'd like to get that back.
Wear any corrective lenses of anything? Do you have any contacts or anything
like
that? Not
yet. I've got glasses that I very rarely wear.
If you did wear them, would it be for things that are far away or for like readers?
For things that are far away.
Yeah, that, I have the same vision issue. Now, mine's still in pretty good shape, but that's going to be the step I take is getting glasses for things that are a little further away or like at night. Things that are lit up, like road signs and stuff, can be a little bit blurry.
Yeah.
A little bit fuzzy.
Right.
But a Canadian optometrist has invented a tiny bionic lens that is capable of enhancing your eyesight to a level 3 times better than 20/20, as Barbara Walters would
60/60?
That, well, if you do the math, that's what it sounds like. It's this button-shaped, tiny little lens. It looks like a contact, actually. And it's painlessly injected into your eye in about 8 minutes, and after that it takes about 10 seconds for it to correct your vision to an astonishing level. This it features biomechanical camera optics that can shift focus from close range to optical infinity, Phil, which would be as far as the eye could see.
Wow. All right, so that means that means that field where maybe at 100 paces I used to be able to see the field mouse or the bird, something like that. Now we're talking about maybe 500 paces.
Right, yeah, you're talking 500 yards away. You could be able to see things in pretty clear focus.
Man.
Yeah, sounds awesome, doesn't it?
Right.
It is painless, you said?
They said they are claiming that it is painless to inject it into your eye.
Inject.
And it works instantaneously.
Let's just focus on the image now of having something injected into your eye. Ready? Go ahead.
I'm seeing like a robot. Is it kind of like a, what is it?
It looks like a contact lens. It looks like a contact lens, but it's more permanent. It's not something that you have to pull in and take out. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could do it.
Oh, boy.
It's vision enhancement the world has never seen, although not commercially available until 2017. So you guys
That's not very long from now.
Wait your turn. No,
And a half. I may actually still want that. Do they put a price tag on it? Insurance isn't going to cover
that. Oh, I can only imagine. I do know that they've spent $3 million in research and development.
Well, look, if you get LASIK eye surgery, okay, that's not an injection. That's where they take a common razor blade and they get into your eye and they shave off a layer of it. And then they sew you up, and then they send you home. And they say that doesn't hurt either. But that procedure is in the $4,000 to $6,000 range, okay?
And it's not permanent. I mean, it lasts pretty long time.
The LASIK?
Yeah.
I mean, you should be good for 15 to 20 years on that before they have to tune it up.
Some people less than that, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you get bulging eyes, that's an issue. That could be a medical deal that you have to look into. But the injection, though, that seems like quite a bit less of a procedure. So maybe it's going to be less than $4,000 to $6,000.
8 minutes. Eight minutes. They will inject this thing into your eye.
Wait a minute. Now, let's all sit around and just for a moment, think about having a needle put into your eye. And it's left there for 8 minutes while they slowly inject whatever it is they're injecting into your eyeball. Go ahead. Begin now.
I think what they do is they put this bionic lens over your eye, and then they take a soldering gun, and they just solder
around
the iris.
Soldering iron. Oh, yeah. All right. Love that. Let's see. The NFL. We can't wait for Los Angeles to have a team. Probably never going to happen. We've been talking about it for 20, 25 years.
Oh, they're going to get a team.
You think so? All right.
Yeah.
But this year, there is going to be something the NFL is getting. After years of debate, the NFL has decided to change the extra point kick after touchdowns and make it longer. Did you know this?
I did.
It was only 20 yards, and the other guys wouldn't even bother trying to block it. Except in extreme situations, right?
Right.
Like Seattle, the guy would run, the middle linebacker would run over the center and jump up there.
Cam Chancellor, he's a freak.
Jack the kick. Yeah, and he'd do it twice in a row and they still wouldn't.
And they never caught on.
Anyway, these guys never miss the extra kick. And if they do, they get fired. So now, instead of a 20-yard kick hiked from the 2-yard line, it'll be a 33-yarder from the 15. So this makes it a little more interesting because a 33-yard kick is not a slam dunk.
Yeah, it's not a slam dunk. Most of the kickers don't like it. We'll see if the kicking percentage drops below 90%. Hopefully it encourages teams to go for two more often.
Exactly.
Make it more interesting.
Sorry to mix my sports metaphors there, too, because slam dunk is a basketball term, is it not?
Yeah, I think you were looking for home run, Phil.
Was I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or maybe hat trick. You know, one of the other things that came out of that owner's meeting, besides extending the extra point, was they have put the offer on the table to have a Super Bowl in Los Angeles by 2020.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's
so,
right.
So pretty sure we're going to get a team.
If we get a team. That's the stipulation. So it's catch-22.
Right.
No Super Bowl if we don't have a team.
Yeah, we will. We might even have two. It'll probably be the Rams and the Raiders.
They've been looking at the plans for these stadiums that people have been talking about building in various cities. And they are futuristic looking stadiums.
Yeah, they're awesome. These open-air stadiums.
Is it supposed to go downtown next to Staples Center or no?
Nobody's talking about that anymore. They're looking at Carson and they're looking at
Carson,
Irwindale,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And other places all of a sudden.
Right. Carson seems to be the front runner.
Yeah, for two teams.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. All right. And then also over near the Fabulous Forum where Hollywood Park used to be, the racetrack. It's now a big parking lot, and they're talking about maybe the Rams would go there. Here's something creepy for you. Have you seen the movie Frozen one or two times?
Yes.
You seen kids walking around singing that annoying song, Let It Go? All right. You won't be able to let this go once it's in your memory. Someone over at Reddit has a dark theory about the movie Frozen. They say that Kristoff... Now, Kristoff, tell me, I've never seen the movie. He's one of the characters?
He's got to be one of the guys. Is he the bad guy or the good guy?
Yeah.
Good guy.
So okay.
He's a good guy?
Yeah.
All right. The theory is...
He falls in love with Anna.
The theory is that Kristoff's coat looks like it's made of reindeer fur, which is a little weird on its own because his buddy, Sven, is a reindeer. But this gets worse. Quote... In the context of the story, it all fits together. The ice harvesters must have killed Sven's mother, leaving a baby, Sven, for Kristoff to look after, and given him the pelt to wear. Now, this explains why Sven is so close to Kristoff, too, and why Kristoff still wears the same pelt. The smell reminds Sven of his mom, so yes, this person thinks Kristoff is wearing Sven's mom. Disney has yet to comment on this.
That is so
Where
bizarre.
Where do people get this stuff?
It's very Disney.
Reddit.
It is, really, Reddit. It's just a place where you post your stuff. Hey, we're going to be talking movies, and there's some scary, and there's some weird, and all of it involves George Clooney. With Manny the Movie Guy, coming up next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, it's time to find out what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex this weekend. Joining us live is the very reason why you order the unlimited refill size of popcorn, extra butter flavoring, KMIR-TV Palm Springs movie reviewer, Manny the Movie Guy.
That's right. Who doesn't love popcorn with lots and lots of butter?
Butter flavoring is what it is. You know, I love the Filipino cuisine, Manny, and I know you're more than familiar with it. And I was racking my brain, what would go great with popcorn? Something Filipino with something as American as popcorn. Can you give me a suggestion? Not some of that, those little fried bagoong shrimp. We wouldn't put any of that on there.
Everything goes well with adobo. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, yeah, that's chicken with a little brown sauce on it.
Or pork, yes.
Yeah, right.
It's better. The other white meat.
Yeah, with popcorn. So would you bring chicken or pork adobo into the theater? That might get a little sticky.
I would. I'll even bring some fish sauce if I want to.
Oh. Wait, this for those who don't know, we call that the patis.
Very good.
Yeah, Manny gets the movie theater to himself, though, so he's allowed to do that.
Yeah. Please, don't bring fish sauce into the theater, Manny, will you? Come on. What are you thinking? All right. Now,
it tastes better with patis.
Yeah, everything does. It's and here's the thing. That would be scary enough, but... You get Sam Rockwell, Rosemary DeWitt, and Jared Harris together in what looks like a remake, and maybe it isn't, of one of my favorite scary movies ever, Poltergeist. And that's opening this weekend, isn't
it? That's right. And you know what? The filmmakers behind this, it's a reboot. This reboot are up against a major question. Why remake a movie that's beloved by many?
Yeah.
Right? In this day and age of The Conjuring, Insidious, and Paranormal Activity, this reboot feels like a copycat, even though its main theme, that of a normal suburban family haunted by the paranormal, has been borrowed and used to great effects by the new crop of ghost movies.
Yeah.
And like what you said, Sam Rockwell and Rosemary DeWitt take over the roles of the parents who must rescue their youngest daughter from evil forces. Only this time, she's not Carol Ann anymore. She's Madison.
Oh.
The sad part is this movie is ably directed with credible performances, yet it doesn't hold up to the original. If the Tobey Hooper and Steven Spielberg classic scared you with its minimalism, this remake spoon-feeds you with cliched tactics.
No.
This one only works best when it's subtle. Plus... Nobody can replace Zelda Rubinstein.
No, they can't.
Clairvoyant from the original.
Come into the light.
I love her.
Go away from the light.
Yeah. I love her. So yeah. Other guys on my scale gets 2 out of 4.
Oh.
Too creepy.
That's not good, but it gives you a reason to rant or to fire up in your queue the original Poltergeist because it's great. And just and don't leave the room. Don't fall asleep near the end because the swimming pool scene is about as good and scary a moment in any movie that you'll ever see.
That's right, with old school special effects, Mike.
Yeah, and when the house gets swallowed up, man, was that scary or what?
That's right.
Yeah, especially if you're a homeowner, you're thinking, man, that's the, that's exactly what's happening to my money.
Yeah. Turns out the house was on an Indian burial ground, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Very good. Now, you know what, though? MGM and just released Poltergeist 2 and 3, which really is, not that great compared to the first one. But they just released that in a double feature set for your viewing pleasure at home.
You know, the only thing that as worthy as watching Poltergeist is the when The Simpsons did their take on Poltergeist. And Homer had to go in after Bart, who fell into the third dimension or whatever it was through the TV.
Yeah, that one was great. Yeah.
And that is much, much better. It has more imagination.
It does. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of imagination, we all know that Walt Disney was one of the most imaginative people on the planet, and he came up with his whole Disneyland idea. Tomorrowland was one of the places. And this movie, which is coming from the Disney camp, it looks to me, when I watch the trailer, to have absolutely nothing to do with Walt Disney's vision.
That's right. Well, we can't escape the whole Disney tie-in with Tomorrowland. It's because Disneyland is celebrating its 60th anniversary, right?
Right.
So this one, another movie based on a popular Disneyland attraction, Tomorrowland, to be honest with you, is like a shiny new ride that will leave you hanging.
Oh.
The excitement and wonder are all there, though, especially in the more effective first half of the movie. But you will not leave the theater in awe. And that is a major, major, major disappointment for me because it's coming from writer-director Brad Bird, the great storyteller who gave us the much, much better The Iron Giant, The Incredibles, Ratatouille, and even Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
Thanks for bringing up The Iron Giant. That's a cool movie.
Yeah, it's an underappreciated, you guys should watch it. I love, love, love that movie. That's better than any other Pixar.
Yeah, you think it's like a kid's movie, but you watch it and it's cool. And
it's smart, and it still has a great big heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. George Clooney, though, in Tomorrowland is still likable as a former boy genius is trying to get his groove back. The key is Britt Robertson's Casey and her scientific curiosity.
Is this one of these, and introducing Britt Robertson.
Very good, yes.
She's the latest starlet, right?
Their latest Disney starlet.
Yeah.
Right. Now, Clooney, when I talked to him, Clooney was very proud that this one has an old school Disney vibe to it. Like the wonderful world of Disney. And he's right. Tomorrowland has great intentions, but it's still looking for a purpose. And at least it's original, and moviegoers will be delighted with its eye-popping production design.
How'd your talk with Clooney go? Was he affable? Did you get along? Was he just putting up with you?
I love him. The bigger of a star they are, the better, and Clooney is a major, big, major A-list star. And, he's fantastic. He's real, and he's one of the few ones to actually open the door for you and guide you to your seat and the whole thing.
Hugh Laurie is in this movie. I don't know if he's on drugs and walks with a cane, but does he have an American or an English accent in Tomorrowland?
It's an American one, and the deal is George Clooney should really play the Hugh Laurie character because he's more and more interesting.
Oh.
He is the big bad villain in the film.
Yeah.
But truth be told, though, as heavy-handed as the movie is, I subscribe to the film's message of hope. So there's still the whole Disney. I'm a Disney boy at heart.
Yeah.
So, Tomorrowland, take the production values, take a little bit of the acting, and take it's great message of hope, and it gets 3 out of 4.
Wow, that's
it's
pretty good.
It's a small world after.
3 out of 4 kisses from Manny. What are we looking forward to next weekend?
Next weekend, the world falls apart in San Andreas.
Oh, bad timing. They should take a couple of months off because of the big earthquakes in Nepal, don't you think?
That's right, right?
Yeah, all right. Yeah. But the special effects look amazing on that. Manny, always great to talk with you, and I'm so glad that you got to talk to George Clooney, and I didn't. And what's my producer been up to? Somebody get Brooke on the phone. Come on. But you can watch the interview, I'm sure, and many others, and stay up to speed on everything movies at MannyTheMovieGuy.com. It's the website's a hoot. Go check it out. Manny, we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend.
All right. Keep the Patis cap on, will you please? Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, you know what? Whiskey is becoming more and more popular among women. Can you believe that? I don't know why that is.
It's because whiskey makes your clothes come off.
Perhaps it does, yeah. And so we're going to find out why this is and how it's happening. And while we're at it, how about we offer you some tasting tips on whiskey? That's all happening next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, added.com. You're at our website. Plenty of fun there, especially the show fun page. Go check it out. We have some videos to add there. The Munchkins are considering what to add now based on what we talk about on the show. But for the time being, Barkey, I'll have some of your rot gut. Make it a double. In fact, leave the bottle. I might be here for a while. We're talking whiskey, and joining us now is the founder of the San Francisco Women of Whiskey Group. Bet you didn't know they had that. She's a brand ambassador for Clyde Mays Whiskey. Laura Guerra, welcome to the show. Or should I say cheers, or should I say down the hatch? Hello? Laura? I hear her. Oh, you're having a... were you dropping one down right now? Were you taking a shot of whiskey while we were trying to talk to you?
No, not at all. I think it's just some background noise.
Yeah, okay. Now you're in. You're all in. And we're all awesome. Into finding out about women and whiskey, which is traditionally a man's drink, is it not?
Well, the stereotypes of it being primarily male-driven drink, for sure, have been prominent in the past. But I think we are now changing that as women are definitely driving, I think like 40% of the audience of whiskey drinkers these days.
That's that's a lot, 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Give us an idea then how much more popular it's getting with women over time. It's 40% now, but where have we come over what span of time? Have you been keeping track?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I have to say, for me, I fell in love with bourbon about 7 years ago, and I've seen just in that span of time, it grow quite a bit. I think that still, even 7 years ago, women were still not prominent in terms of being comfortable with the idea of even trying whiskey, being into whiskey as a category as far as drinking it. And just even in the past 7 years, it's become so much more popular. Women are definitely more open to trying it. They're interested in trying it, and they're experimenting with it in so many different ways. And it's definitely just, like I said, even in the past 10 years, it's grown quite a bit.
May I key in on that experimentation thing that you referenced there? I mean, you use so many different ways. What are they doing? Cooking with it? Are they pouring it down funnels out of funny hats? So what's going on?
Yeah, exactly. So yes. Well, they're experimenting with it in cocktails. They're experimenting with it just in terms of trying the different categories out there. But yeah, definitely having some fun with it in terms of using it in cooking. I know from my Women of Whiskey group, a lot of the ladies have expressed that they've been using it in different recipes. And I know for me, I use it in chocolate and So, yeah, you know, but experimenting too as far as doing clubs and doing pairings, whiskey dinners, that sort of thing, are definitely becoming on, coming up in the...
Here's an idea for you. When you get the ladies together for the Women of Whiskey group on a hot summer's day, I have four words for you. Whiskey slip and slide. All right, so...
I like it.
I'm thinking... Advertising, no doubt. All right, good. See, now the party has begun. When you think of whiskey advertising over the years, maybe in magazines, you see the guy in a tuxedo holding a glass of whiskey, and his tie is undone, right, a little bit. And there's the lady in the evening gown, the negligee, and of course, you know, you get a couple shots of that whiskey, and the advertising message is the glamorous lady is going back to your hotel room with you. But now it seems like some of the advertising, and I can't help but think of the Dewar's Whiskey Honey. She's a classy, independent-minded lady enjoying a shot on the rocks, and she delivers lines like, go back to bed, Angus, darling. Of course, the industry, with advertising like that, the industry seems to clearly be targeting women. Do you agree with that statement?
I completely agree. Yes, it's been kind of nice to see the advertisement. Well, and that's grown just even in... from a few years ago where there were hardly any alcohol advertisements at all. But yes, definitely driving the female-dominated perspective in terms of the commercials and how they're... Yeah, that I know the exact commercial you're talking about, and I love to see it. And they're definitely going after the female category as far as... the whiskey brands go.
Now, of course, that commercial I referenced, that's Dewar's, and that is Scotch whiskey.
That is Scotch.
And you make a distinction, and your taste falls clearly on American soil. So explain the difference for us.
So the difference basically, well, there's many differences, but Scotch is primarily from Scotland. There's a bunch of different criteria that classify it as a Scotch. As far as American whiskey goes, we have bourbon in the forefront of that category, and bourbon basically has to come from the United States. A lot of people think that it needs to come from Kentucky, but that's not the case. And there's a whole other different list of characteristics that classify it as a bourbon. The main being that it needs to be at least 51% corn, which bourbon, I feel, appeals a lot more to women, especially the women that want to get introduced into the category as a whole, because it tends to be a little bit sweeter. And, you know, speaking of a little bit on the sweeter side of things, Clyde Mays Whiskey is definitely one of those brands that is really good for ladies, as if they're trying it for the first time or they want to try it and then drink it, you know, for the rest of their duration of being into American whiskey.
Yeah. All right. So the bourbon is
that's definitely the distinction.
Yeah.
For sure.
So it's corn versus the Scotch is made out of what?
It's made out of malted barley primarily.
Oh, okay.
And then there's different barrel agings and different characteristics that the distillers can do, but peat is very prominent in Scotch, and so there's some things about Scotch that they're not as sweet. Mm-hmm. They're definitely a lot more pungent. So yeah. I feel like, especially with women, if they're just getting into the category, bourbon is definitely the way to go.
You know, some of the brands, and I don't know if Clyde May is doing this, but some of the brands are adding cinnamon to their whiskey these days. What do you know about that?
Okay, so here's the thing. So the cinnamon whiskeys out there, they are flavored whiskeys. They are not like Clyde Mays. Clyde Mays is not a flavored whiskey. We start out as a bourbon, and our Alabama style is just to add a little bit of essential oils from baked green apples, but not in the flavored whiskey category at all by any means. So you can totally tell the difference. The cinnamon whiskeys are a lot sweeter. They're more liqueurs than they are whiskeys.
Hmm. Liqueurs. Interesting. Okay. So let me ask you a couple things. On the rocks, shot glass, or straight from the bottle?
For me personally?
Yes.
So I like it straight, but I definitely like my whiskey chilled down a little bit. So I definitely like it on the rocks.
Okay.
As far as like from a female perspective, you know, again, like if ladies are wanting to just break into the category and they're not quite sure, I say go for a cocktail first. But... next would be probably on the rocks or with a little splash of water.
Yeah. All right. When you say a cocktail, do you mean like throwing in some Coca-Cola?
No. I kind of think, so while you can do that, and that has been done in the past, I feel like some more fruit-driven cocktails, especially someone starting out, less spirit-forward.
Okay. All right. And so fruity is good. That's what the ladies like. And I'm looking at mayswhiskey.com. I believe that's the right place to be. You can look at a whole bunch of original craft whiskey recipes for cocktails and mixed drinks. And I'm seeing some of them, and they seem to have fruit as the major feature here. Let me ask you this. I know they're out there. They have them for wine. They have them for beer. Do you suffer the whiskey snobs?
Yes, for sure. Especially with Clyde Mays being in a new category in terms of being an Alabama style. Yeah. You know, a lot of people will turn their nose up. And again, the snobs will come from the fact that, you know, they're assuming that we're a flavored whiskey and we're not. So that's kind of where the snobbery comes in terms of from brand to brand.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Very good. Again, it's mayswhiskey.com, Clyde Mays Whiskey, award-winning Spirit of the Americas Micro Liquor, L.A. International Spirits Competition, Most Appealing Whiskey in the World Award, Wine Enthusiast Magazine, et cetera, et cetera. They go on and on. And how about right now? Are you a little drunk?
No, I am not.
Just checking.
I say that for later.
Yeah, all right. Very good. About what time, then, are you going to start hitting it?
Oh gosh, I'm not sure, but I would like to say I'm definitely not. This gets asked all the time, and I'm definitely more of a connoisseur. So I'm more of a sipper than I am slamming down. In fact, I do not believe in shooting whiskey.
Yeah,
all right. I will not shoot whiskey. It doesn't matter what kind it is. I won't do it.
Okay, all right. Even at a special occasion.
No shots for me.
All right. Laura Guerra, thank you very much. Again, she's the founder of the San Francisco Women of Whiskey Group and a brand ambassador for Clyde Mays Whiskey. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. I might have to buy you a drink next time you're in town.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I appreciate the time, too, as well.
All right. You're welcome. All right. There she goes. So what do you think, guys? You much into whiskey at all?
I just started kind of just because of my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And I'm so green to it, but... Yeah. Manhattans and old fashions, that's whiskey, right?
Well, not necessarily. Now you're talking about Manhattans and old fashions. Those are martinis.
Manhattan's a city, guys. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
No.
It is a martini.
I use a bourbon to make it.
You do?
Right? Yeah, with the cherry. See, I'm so new to it, but yeah. I'm getting out of the clear.
Or try a whiskey sour. Whiskey sour is pretty good.
I don't mix anything with my whiskey. I either have a shot or I have it on the rocks.
Mm. I have to have something. We add a cherry to it, so it sweetens it up a little bit, the old fashioned.
Or the honey.
I'm so green.
That honey blend that Phil keeps referencing, that's another good starting point. That's a great river drink. The girls seem to love that. Goes down smooth.
And you know, you can always just stick an umbrella in your glass. And
there you go.
What does that do?
It just makes it more palatable, okay. I guess. Hey, that's it for hour one of the program. There's so much more to come. Raise a toast to the second hour. It's on the way. Some surprising names are in this year's Maxim Hot 100 list. What in the world is Red Nose Day anyway? Apparently today is it. The Lakers get lucky in the lottery. And is coffee nature's Viagra? Those stories and more are coming up in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.
You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show, where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, new Scrabble words for your game. And the story behind why you hear taps at all military funerals. And the NSA was planning to hack into what? Our tech guy joins us this hour. The friends are here. Chris Martin and our on-again, off-again friend. Oh, she's always our friend. It's Sandy Charles. Ms. California, United States. For another couple of weeks, isn't that right?
One more week, actually. It's the 26th, right?
Sunday.
Well, Sunday.
Sunday, yeah. You give up your crown?
I pass it on, yep.
But no, you get to actually keep your tiara in a nice plexiglass box, don't you?
Yeah.
All right.
It's actually being fixed right now. Actually, I'm getting a new one, so it's in the mail and should arrive soon.
Why? Sure. Why do you need a new one?
It traveled all over, All-Star Game, World Series, spring training, all over with me.
The jewels started falling
out. Yeah, it fell at Special Olympics, and I cracked it. I was very hard on it.
They just don't build them like they used to.
Now, you don't have in your house there, in your humble suburban estate, do you have a little shrine to your pageant life at your house?
I do. Not really. I have, because I was Ms. Manhattan Beach before I won, so I have my city crown and then my city sash. And
your portrait?
I am getting a portrait, but I don't have it yet.
But for the Ms. Manhattan Beach, you didn't get a portrait for that?
No, I didn't. It was so fast. Yeah. And then before I knew it, I woke up and I was Ms. California.
Do you have like your cape and your mace and all these different things that you get to hold when you're the queen or the princess or whatever it is?
You get flowers.
Don't you get flowers?
You get this huge, beautiful bouquet that is just bigger than you.
Now, you've got a steady boyfriend. You guys are pretty serious, right? Are you engaged?
Oh, my gosh. That is probably the 13th time I've heard that in the last 2 days.
Really?
And we were talking rings yesterday.
So are you then? Has he popped the question or what?
No, it's so new. I mean, it's still so new.
How long have you been together?
6 months.
Okay. So,
this shouldn't be asking.
The reason I was asking is because I think a lot of guys are scared away by the pageant shrine at the house. They come over to the house and they say, that's a little creepy.
Well, we agreed. He can have his because he works in baseball. Uh-huh. He gets a baseball room, but half of it's going to be baseball and half of it's going to be all of his like sports memorabilia, I could speak, and then mine will be my crown stuff.
Yeah, okay.
If we ever get there.
Right. Okay, fine. Seems fair. I mean, the baseball stuff's not creepy to you, is it?
No, I love it.
Do you get what I'm saying, though? For guys, sometimes they get turned off by that pageant stuff.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
100% of guys do?
No, I get what you're saying, 100%.
Oh, okay.
I've never heard that they get... but I can understand why it would be creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a shrine to yourself. But I do it more for memories. And since I was a little girl, I've wanted to wear the California name, logo, everything across my chest. And
I have a surprise for you later in this hour. You are going to meet somebody who, I don't know if she has a shrine at her house, but you always wonder, you know, if somebody's in the pageants when they're like 5 years old, and then they're a pageant when they're a teenager, they're a pageant in their 20s, and they become this pageant-obsessed person, and then they, in their 60s, they become Ms. California. Now, I'm not saying that Ms. California has led an obsessed pageant life, but Ms. California, Miss Senior California, is going to be in this here studio, sitting right next to you later in this hour.
I love it. The sister queens together. I'm excited.
So we want to ask her then if she has a pageant shrine at her house.
Yeah,
all right.
Most definitely.
Very good.
And then we'll see the picture of her shrine and the picture of your shrine, and we'll compare them, see who has the best shrine.
Yes.
Mine has all my baseball stuff around it, though, too. So it's kind of like sports and queen beauty sparkly stuff.
All right, good. Well, she's a very accomplished lady. She's a doctor, and she's actually here to talk about for Memorial Day coming up this coming Monday, when we honor all of the heroes that have paid the ultimate price for our freedoms. That's what Memorial Day is. Don't mix it up with Veterans Day. All right, Memorial Day is when we memorialize those who've gone before us, and our fallen heroes, frankly. And she won her contest not only for her beauty and her poise and her ability to speak, but she also won the talent competition by telling the story of taps. This is the
this is the music that they play at military funerals, the one guy with the bugle. Why it's a bugle, how the song came about being played at all the military. And she tells the story. I don't think most people know this story.
Mm-mm.
But we're going to hear it from her, and that's coming up later this hour. So anyway, Sandy, let's shift back to It's All About You mode. And it's...
only for a little bit longer.
Yes, for a little bit longer. You're so nice to be here once again. Back in my day, when I went to elementary school, teachers had full authority to just smack us with whatever was nearby, within arm's reach. If it was a ruler or an eraser or a table, they could just hit us with it, and there'd be no recourse. And parents would blame the kids anyway. What's the matter with you acting up at school? Right? It's mm-hmm. different these days. And when you hear from time to time about teachers using corporal punishment, all hell breaks loose. And we have a story like that, don't we?
Yes, that's correct. In Maryland, a substitute teacher is under fire and parents are very upset because there's a video of him whipping students in the face all over with a belt, with a leather belt. And these kids are running from him.
That's both hardcore and old school.
Yes. But back then, you couldn't be caught if you were being, you know, abusive or disciplining. This now being caught or it all...
Oh, you mean caught on video.
Yeah.
And
I think
going
that's,
viral.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it.
Well, big part of it also back then was that you knew if you stepped out of line, you were going to get hurt. And,
yes.
and stepping out of line was painful. So you tended not to step out of line. That was the theory behind corporal
right.
punishment. Yeah.
Well, these parents are outraged that someone else would touch their children or their child. And I think that's most of it. Like, well, I should be the only one hitting my kid, not right. a teacher.
Right.
So where is the line and how did that change? Are kids this nowadays just so unruly? And
no.
Or is it just...
No, they're not.
They're more well-behaved than they've ever been.
Have you ever been to a restaurant or a shopping mall or any place where
no.
you're supposed to use your inside voice or just not talk at all and see a couple of kids and how they're behaving? Oh, it's, yeah, okay, parents, what are you doing?
Right.
Makes you want to smack them in the face with a leather belt, doesn't it?
It sure does.
And that's not a laughing matter for those poor children that are now.
Well, they're scarred for life
but,
if
yeah.
they're getting whipped in the face with leather belts. That
yeah.
could leave a mark.
Yeah, I mean, he's running at these children.
They have no choice now other than to pursue a career in hockey.
Right. Yes. And speaking of
yes.
California, Southern California specifically, the Ducks and the Blackhawks tonight, game 3.
I don't know if you're watching this live right now, but if there is a camera shot on it, do we have the guy over there?
He looks wonderful in his Anaheim Ducks jersey.
Yes. I've got my sweater on.
All prepared for tonight.
Game 3 in Chicago.
In Chicago. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Series is tied 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so pumped, especially after last game going into third overtime.
And there's some controversy today. I don't know if you're aware of this. There's the television hockey commentator, Mike Milbury, who tends to generate controversy with some of his comments, said the following thing, and I believe he said this during one of the intermissions during the Eastern Conference final game between the Rangers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. They were talking about the Ducks matchup with Chicago, and he said, quote, "If I were playing against Corey Perry, I'd probably want to hurt him in some painful and permanent way." Corey Perry, of course, is the scoring machine on the Anaheim Ducks, and mm-hmm. it tends to be the type of player that gets under your skin. He likes to needle and take you out of your game by getting into your head. That's his game. Now, the part of the sentence, "if I were a player," or "if I were playing against Corey Perry," I don't know if that necessarily absolves him, thank you, from suggesting a permanent injury to somebody.
Mm-mm.
But in the meantime, Helene Elliott, our friend over at the Los Angeles Times, wrote on this morning and let us know that Corey Perry is now asking Milbury for a public apology. Now, of course, Corey would do that because Corey now will make Milbury the focus of his needling and maybe mm-hmm. take Milbury out of his game. It'll be interesting to see what he says during today's game. He might fumble. He might say something ridiculous. And who knows? He might get driven out of the industry.
Not a very tough guy thing to do, though, right? You need to apologize to me publicly.
Yeah.
You've hurt my feelings.
Yeah, right.
Please apologize.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
It's not really a hockey
thing.
Well,
what's he going to do? Ask him to fight? I'll meet you behind the hardware store after the game.
He could probably say that. I have a feeling that the guy who said that, well, I don't think he really wants Corey Perry to be hurt.
But he did say that. Isn't that part of sports? Even have that thought? No, you don't really want to permanently hurt someone.
No, if I were a player, this is again the quote, if I were playing against Corey Perry, I'd probably want to hurt him in some painful and permanent way.
No, that's just...
Are there two ways to look at that?
Sure, I think so, yes, absolutely.
Well, like, I'd want to murder him.
Like, the way I'm thinking is, like, that's just a dude's... talking dude speak about sports.
It's just bravado.
Is that what it is? It's I don't think he really wants to go in and Tonya Harding the dude in the leg.
He's analyzing the sport of hockey and suggesting that one of the players should be permanently injured.
Which is, in a way, a compliment, too, right?
Like, well, saying this guy's so good. But he takes it too far.
Well, that's the way Helene Elliott couched it, by saying that Perry is so good, the only way to stop him is to murder him.
And I love Helene. I love everything that she says. And so I agree with her. I just think he takes it over. I would never want to see anyone permanent. I don't think he really wants to see him permanently, but why say it?
Yep. All right. Well, I'm going to spare you all the Ducks Homer conversation. You know who I think is going to win the series, so we don't have to go into that. So we're going to move on now to another story. And for this one, we go to you, Chris, because this, on the surface, at least, when you told me about it, it seemed a little peculiar to me. Explain again, what are bankers doing with their wives?
Well, there's a handful of New York bank investors that are paying their wives year-end performance bonuses, if they've earned it, of course.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so during the course of the year, they have benchmarks that their wives have to achieve and either make or surpass. Is that?
Yeah, something like that. They get paid a certain amount of money at the end of the year. The amount is based on how well the home was run, how well the children's grades are, and other wife-like duties that you might be able to imagine. Some women are getting as much as $10,000 as their year-end bonus. They might spend it on clothes or events.
$10,000? Yeah. Some of these bankers are making million-dollar bonuses, are they not?
I'm sure that there are wives out there making significantly more than $10,000.
May I ask this question? And Sandy, you chime in. Well, it isn't when you're married, the contract is what's yours is mine and what's mine is yours.
Exactly.
And so if I get a million-dollar bonus, that's our $1 million.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not if you have a prenuptial agreement, then that is not necessarily
true,
right?
But I'm going to shave off $10,000 as your allowance? Is that how that works? Is that what the rich guys do?
Yeah, they set up a contract that basically says, if I think that the way that you've performed as a wife is above par, then you are going to receive money at the end of every year for you to do what you will with.
I don't even have words for this. It's so we're grading our spouse now?
It's a little demeaning, isn't it?
It's very demeaning.
It's totally sexist BS.
It's very, very demeaning.
Yeah. Some of the women that were interviewed said it was empowering to have their own money and gave them incentive. It gave them incentive to run the house like an executive, exercise regularly.
I can. Who are these women?
This is the contract of marriage, is it not?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you should be doing both of them. Are we grading the men too? This is just weird. Yeah. You should just enter this both.
I'm not a fan of separate bank accounts, by the way. I think you should share.
My boyfriend is.
Even if
Gabe is.
Even if you're two uber rich people, like two millionaires get together, say like Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, you think they should just smash their money together when they get married?
Well, they might have separate corporations, but I think if they, in that case, those two are not married. But if they did get married, I think they need to give each other seats on their corporations, on the board of directors.
Sounds like a lot of legal mumbo-jumbo. By the way, speaking of legalities, a wife bonus, as it's called, can be hammered out in a pre- or post-nuptial agreement.
Wow. All right. And for that extra bonus money, perhaps these wives can invest in a house. And up next, how much would fictional TV houses be worth in real life? Think about the houses on TV. We'll knock out some of those next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, you're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. Quick tidbit here. A Memorial Day is coming up in a couple of days. Approximately 625,000 soldiers died in the Civil War, but only one-third of them died in battle. Two-thirds died from diseases like malaria and measles that spread around their camps. Did you know that?
I do know.
Yeah. All right. Trulia.com, that's the real estate website where they show you the values of houses and rentals and all that sort of thing. They put together a list of what some fictional TV houses would be worth in real life. They only looked at the houses that were used for the show's exterior shots, since most of the interiors were shot in studios, right? But they could figure out zip codes and street addresses because these were actual houses. For example, the North Hollywood house that was used for the Brady Bunch back in the 1970s is worth $552,000, which sounds like a deal, except that it actually only has two bedrooms. It's a two-bedroom house, not enough for a couple with six children. The inside of the house was a stage set, so you never really could tell that they had a whole bunch of houses. It was rooms in the house. It was just a two-bedroom, $552,000 in North Hollywood, California. For a two-bedroom house? Wow. That's a lot of money, huh?
That is a ton of money.
The Connecticut house from Gilmore Girls is worth $2.8 million.
In Connecticut?
In Connecticut. Now, that was an old, dark, like a 1920s two-story, one of those big-style, old-style houses, $2.8 million. Connecticut real estate is not cheap. The West Los Angeles home the Dunphys live in on Modern Family. Maybe that house is a little more in focus for you right now. That one is worth $1.5 million. It actually sold last year for $2.2 million. Right?
I love that show, so yeah. I would that to me.
Remember the house Roseanne lived in? They mostly lived in the kitchen, if you recall that show, right?
Yeah, kitchen and the living room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's in Illinois, and that house would cost you around $112,000.
Oh.
Yeah.
Looks like a $112,000 house.
I know. Yeah, I can only remember the kitchen.
Remember the OC? That show?
Mm-hmm.
The home that the Coens lived in? That house is actually located in Malibu, even though the show was about Orange County. So about 50 miles up the coast. And that one is worth more than $5.9 million. The house from Coach in Austin, Texas. Don't know if you remember that show.
Mm-hmm.
That one would run you about $230,000. Austin still, you know, it's more expensive now, but it's still a reasonably priced part of town. And the New Jersey house from The Sopranos is worth $1.7 million.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll say wow.
How much for the house the Golden Girls lived in? That's the one I want.
Yeah, that was just like a little, like a patio home in Florida. Probably not cheap.
A retirement community.
Yeah,
that's
right.
A spot for me.
Talking about a lot of money. This one guy spent a lot of money to raise awareness for an endangered species, Chris, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he spent
$350,000
this guy spent last year at an auction. And the auction had a purpose of raising awareness and protection funds for the endangered black rhino. This guy wins the auction for $350,000 and earns the right to kill an endangered black rhino.
Well, how does that work?
Well, it's certainly raising awareness because it's made a lot of news. But this hunter did win it at an auction in Dallas last year, has successfully killed the animal earlier this week. It was a three-day hunt in the Namibian bush, and there were government officials there. CNN camera crew were on location to film the whole thing. The guy says, I want to see the black rhino be as abundant as it can be. I believe in the survival of the species. And he feels prosecuted
so
as a hunter.
Do you get this?
No. This stuff outrages me.
Yeah.
I cannot understand. If you love it and you want to preserve it, I get his mindset of what he thinks. But you're killing an innocent animal and...
And an endangered one at that. This is, to me, does seem to be the most oxymoronic thing that I've ever read.
And it was more in like a safari bagging, hunting kind of thing, not self-defense, right? The thing, he wasn't being charged at the time.
No. He was allowed to hunt it and he was given professional guides to track this animal down and shoot it and kill it.
And I still don't get that. You raise the money for awareness. Okay, he's raised the awareness, and it's an endangered species. Mm-hmm. Now it's more endangered thanks to him.
Right. Yeah. And that's they're trying to protect it from the poachers that keep killing them.
And knocking off their horns, yeah.
Then what the heck? You just took another one out. I do not understand this. Really, it bothers
me. Now, there is the other side of the fence, which is true. This has brought a tremendous amount of attention and money to the campaign that is raising awareness and funds. So there is that.
Yeah, and the guy's gone underground.
Good.
Yeah, he's getting death threats.
Yeah. Hey, here's one for you. Did you have a Sweet 16 party? Did you?
No.
I had a quinceañera.
Oh, okay, good. They still have the dress?
Yeah.
There's a girl named Jacinda Cambre. She's from Levittown, Pennsylvania. She had her Sweet 16 party on Sunday night. Everything was going great until it started raining. Not water, though. It started raining poop. Apparently, a plane was flying overhead. It emptied out its waste, which showered down on the 40 people at the party. There were about 5 planes flying in the area at the time. The FAA is trying to zero in on which one exactly dropped the bucket of feces fun for the party there for Jacinda. They aren't allowed to do that, by the way. Planes are not allowed to do that. They're supposed to get rid of their waste at airports. How about that? Hey, if you're like me and you just don't use your emojis anymore when you're emailing or you're texting, I don't do it because I'm bored with them. They're all the same. Well, you're in luck. There are a ton of new ones coming out, and you might have some money coming your way courtesy of PayPal. You won't believe why. Our tech guy explains that and more coming up next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, we're back, and we're glad you are. Have a seat. We're going to talk a little tech now. Joining us live is the head of mobile at Apogee, our tech guy, Jeremy Antecuni. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, friends. How are you?
Good, good, good. Step right up and tell us about the new emojis that are out there. It's about time we got some new ones, isn't it?
It is. And as you probably remember, earlier this year, a lot of new emojis were released, including some racially diverse options so that not everybody looked like white bread. Well, Unicode, which is the consortium that decides on our emoji future, has announced that they've got 38 more emoji coming to smartphones near you. And, of course, my favorite, bacon will finally be there.
Yes.
Yes. Yummy pork products.
How did we get along without a bacon emoji?
It's a good question, Chris. I don't know how we've done that.
Hey, can we clarify something real quick, Jeremy? You used emoji as the plural. Is that the accurate way to do it, or is it emojis with an S?
You know, I think it could probably float both ways, but I like emoji.
Do they have an emoji that floats both ways?
Good question. Well, we do have many more, you know, pairs of emojis now. Right now, we've got a princess and we've got a bride and we've got a woman dancing. In this set, we're going to have a man dancing, a prince, and a guy in a tuxedo.
Wow.
Got two of my favorite ones, a shrug and a face palm. And then also an odd selection of new vegetables. We've got potato, carrot, cucumber, and avocado are going to be joining the lineup.
Yeah, you tapped a nerve or a chord with Sandy here when you said
face palm.
What
we
is that?
Yes. Needed that
what
one.
Is face palm?
It's, you know, it's an expression when you're just completely frustrated with the idiocracy of somebody's response.
I could have had a V8.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. I like the shrug, too, because I'm going to use that instead of, you know, IDK.
That's right. That's a good one.
Yeah. All right. Now, we know the NSA is evil, Jeremy, don't we?
I would say so, and we're probably all on their list now.
For me saying that.
Yes.
Well, plus we've been talking about them for some time.
We have.
And exposing some of their plans. And I don't know how secret an agency can be where we pretty much know exactly what's going on. Although perhaps this is really just what they want us to think they're into.
Yeah. Well,
what's the latest thing we think they were going to do?
Well, as if their collection of metadata wasn't enough, some new documents that Edward Snowden has leaked, they're finally getting through all of these things. And some new documents are showing that they had plans for something called Irritant Horn, which is a rather ominous name. And their plans were to hack into the Google Play Store and essentially replace apps that are in there with their versions of them that contain spyware, so that they could surreptitiously spy on you based on the apps that you think that are, you know, from a developer and are clean and safe to use.
Yeah, but would their apps have all the functionality and features that the original app would have?
Yeah, so their plan was to essentially, you know, make a copy of these apps and insert their malicious code into it. So as you're using it, it's doing exactly what you would expect it to, but surreptitiously in the background, they're able to access all sorts of stuff on your device.
Wow.
So they developed this plan with Britain, Canada, New Zealand, and Australia back in 2011 and 2012. It's unclear whether they were successful or if this is currently in place, but certainly is scary stuff nonetheless.
Yeah, I stop to believe, I just won't believe it, that there are that many people planning dangerous things upon the human race, that it's necessary to raise the ante with security in such a way. I just don't want to believe it. I know there are a handful of baddies out there, but you could probably count them in the hundreds or maybe low thousands, not the tens or thousands or hundreds of thousands.
Or millions, or you know, hundreds of millions that are getting swept up into all this.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There's certainly a lot of outrage about what's going on there.
Okay, Jeremy, does PayPal owe me any money?
They might. I hate PayPal. I don't know about you, but I've been using PayPal and eBay for a long time, and every time I have to use them, I wince. I recently purchased a watch, and each time they held the payment or said that it wasn't accepted, and three times I paid for this watch, they debited my account each time and held onto that money for almost a week.
Was that a cheap watch, like couple bucks? Or?
No, I mean, it wasn't a cheap. It was a couple thousand dollars.
Wow, and you got dinged three times?
Each time, yeah. And then I even had a fraudulent return once where I sold something, and the buyer said, oh, this isn't what I agreed to buy. And with just a tracking number, they refunded the buyer's money. I never received the package, and I never got my money back. So I'm certainly not alone here in my frustration with PayPal. And this week, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau filed a complaint. And pretty tellingly, almost immediately, PayPal agreed to immediately refund $15 million to customers, as well as pay $10 million in fines.
Huh.
And when a company agrees to pay something that quickly, it tells me that
maybe
there's more to what's going on.
They
here.
Immediately had a meeting and said, this can no way
sounds
go well for us. Let's just take care of it and get rid of it.
Or we don't want them to find out more of what we've done.
Yeah.
Some of the accusations included automatically signing people up for credit accounts when they did not ask to do so.
Yeah.
And then even worse, setting those credit accounts as their default payment option so that when people went back and made payments, they were using these credit accounts that they didn't know they had and getting charged interest and fees. And of course, not resolving customer disputes and other evil, evil things.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, right.
So
well,
they are less sketchy.
I mean, PayPal anymore is ubiquitous. I mean, everybody uses it, right?
Yeah, but I think that a lot of people use it because they don't think that there's other options. They're starting to have person to person payment options that are avoiding these big companies and all of these fees. So hopefully, this will prompt people to look for other options.
Yeah, maybe it will. Jeremy, thanks as always. We'll talk to you again next week.
Until next time.
Okay. So long. All right. So today, Chris, is something called Red Nose Day. And I've been seeing the famous people on TV talking about this forever. And they would say today's date and they would be wearing a red nose, but they would never tell me why. And I have no clue what it is. I mean, is today the day we tip our hats to French clowns?
No. No, it's not. But today is the day where politicians and dignitaries and celebrities and comedians all around the world put a red nose on their face. And, Phil, it started in the 80s in the United Kingdom.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they like funny noses there.
Yeah. It was started by the UK Comic Relief Program. You know, there's going to be a 3-hour TV special on it tonight on NBC.
I did not know that.
Yeah, there's going to be that with some of the country's brightest stars hosting the event.
I still don't know why, Chris.
You know, it has raised over $120 million so far, Phil.
Really?
Yeah.
People are that into red noses.
Yeah. You know that it helps charities all... no. All right. Here's what it is. It's a campaign dedicated. Yeah, I was waiting for more playoff of, you know, Chris, tell me what it is. But it's a campaign dedicated to raising money for children and young people living in poverty by simply having fun and making people laugh. So it's a comic-based program that, it just brings awareness to children who live in impoverished situations.
How about that?
And raises a ton of money for them.
How much again?
$120 million so far, and that doesn't include tonight's TV grab from all the ratings.
So who gets that? The
commercials.
They don't just give the money to the kids. That goes into housing and to clothing and to education and whatever else, right?
Yeah, all those programs. Some of the charities include the Boys and Girls Club, Children's Health, United Way. So, you know, they sponsor all kinds of different things that will help these children.
Yeah, gotcha. All right, Red Nose Day.
Good for them.
You don't necessarily have to wear a red nose.
Yes, you do, Phil.
You do?
Yeah.
You have to?
It's you must wear a red nose and then take a selfie of yourself and post it out there for the world
so
to see
it.
So you
have to go buy a red nose.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Work on that. Or just
hey, it's for a good cause. I like the good positive.
You could use a red Sharpie.
Okay, we can do that.
Does that work?
Yeah, you can actually just digitally put it in the photo. Oh. You know, what do you use? A Photoshop, something like that. Just put a red circle in the photo.
Would
right
it just
over
be easier to use a Sharpie?
No, because then that's kind of permanent, Phil.
Oh.
You're going to be rubbing your nose for a while trying to get that
something
off.
Something else I didn't know. All right. So, guys, we have Ms. California, United States here with us, Ms. Sandy Charles in the studio, just looking as lovely as ever. And in a moment, we'll meet Ms. Senior California, who by herself is a fascinating person, but also will share a little fascinating information for us ahead of Memorial Day as we honor those who paid the ultimate price protecting our freedoms. What is the story behind TAPS? You know that song that's played by the lone bugleman at military funerals. Do you know? Do you know the story behind that? Ms. Senior California does, and aside from telling us all about her, she'll tell us that story right here in our studio on Phil Hewlett and Friends next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends, and Memorial Day is coming up in just a couple of days here. And, of course, Memorial Day is the day. It's not Veterans Day, for those of you who get that mixed up. Veterans Day, we honor the role that everybody who is alive in the armed forces here and abroad is playing on behalf of our lazy butts. And for Memorial Day, we honor the memory of those who've paid the ultimate price protecting our freedoms. I mean, that's the difference there. And Memorial Day is a big deal. And to help us pay tribute to our fallen heroes, here in the studio with us is the reigning Ms. Senior California, Dr. Gayla Culp Jackson. Dr. Jackson, a pleasure to see you.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Yes.
Yay.
Look at you. You have your crown, your sash. You look radiant.
Thank you. I wear it to bed. It's wonderful.
You do not. Somebody could get hurt. Well, I'd like you to meet Ms. California, Sandy Charles.
Yes, a gorgeous woman.
Yeah, she was going to wear her, you call it a crown?
Crown, yeah.
Not a tiara. That's something completely different, isn't it?
Oh, no.
Right.
Tiara, no. Crown. You are crowned.
Crowned.
Tiara you can go buy at the dime store.
Right,
yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
So the category, senior, I mean, what are the rules? What qualifies you to run for Ms. Senior California?
You have to be 60 or over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exactly the same as Miss California and Mrs. California, and then there's Miss Senior California.
Right. Okay.
So, and in order to win, you have to win at a preliminary pageant across California, and then when you win one of those, then you go on to the Miss Senior California pageant, and you win that, and then you go on for Miss Senior America.
And have you done that yet, or are you about to? Oh, you have.
No, I did. And
how'd that go?
I didn't win by...
That
you
much?
Know, yes. So she must have done something very bad.
Oh,
you know,
please.
No. No, she was.
She was working behind the scenes?
Absolutely.
Right.
No, she was wonderful.
You know, and some of these judges are a little sketchy. We know that they could be influenced.
Well, you know, I try to bribe them, but it doesn't work.
Right.
No.
So once you win the crown of Ms. Senior California, then you head out across the state and you meet people. You go to bake sales and you go to schools and you go to charities and the ribbon cuttings and all this sort of thing, right?
Yes, but big, big stuff. In fact, the reason I have this sexy voice is that because I'm very much for the veterans and the military and all that's my big platform, and this is Memorial Weekend and all that, I have been performing and appearing, and so I have lost my voice. I know. Normally I sound like this. You know?
Yes, a high voice?
But yes.
A squeaky voice. No.
No,
well, you have an acting background too, so when you say perform, and I've watched the video, there is video of you. Performing in the talent portion of the pageant, in which, and we're going to get to this in a little bit, but is this the performance that you talk about where you tell the story of the song Taps that's played at all the funerals for military personnel?
Well, I do sing and dance. I do musical comedy and all that. That's what I did all my life.
Mm-hmm.
My whole family has been in the military since the Revolutionary War.
Right.
And I very much support our military. And I thought, you know, everybody in the pageant world always sings and dances and all that. And so I thought, you know, I really want to do something different. And I heard the background of the song Taps. And there are many different versions, and a lot of them are legend or whatever. Even the Canadians claim to, you know, have made it up. So I looked into it, and I found one version, legend, whatever you want to call it, that I really, really liked.
Yeah.
And so I decided I would do a dramatic monologue of that. So I wrote it and had music put to it and all that. And so I did that for my
And it's compelling.
Talent.
And for the one person out there that doesn't know what Taps sounds like, I'm just going to play it real quick here so that you can hear a bit of it. And we're not going to hear the whole thing, but just a bit. And let's – here we go. There we go. It's usually a lone bugle.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to miss that in your life if you haven't heard this before. But that's what it's called, Taps, right there. And – it wasn't always played at military funerals, and it's odd that somebody would pick a bugle, but it now, it in our mind, when we hear bugle, you think military immediately.
Absolutely.
Don't you?
Yeah, because it's played at every military funeral. It's now even played for the lowering of the flag. I mean, it's played for many, many different things, but the original was because of a soldier who was killed.
And it had to be selected at some point. I mean, it very well could have been the banjo.
Yes.
And today we would have thought that banjo was, assigned to military purposes, but it's the bugle. So why don't you go ahead and tell us, how did Taps come about? It had to be selected somehow.
My version of it, a captain in the Civil War and in the Union Army, he heard during a horrible battle, and at night he heard a soldier on the field that was just crying because he was so wounded. So he decided to risk his life, and he went on the battlefield. He crawled, on the battlefield with, guns blazing with him and all that, and he got to the soldier. And he dragged him across the field, and he got him back to his camp. And he, in the dim light of the camp, he could finally see the face of the soldier, and he saw that he was a Confederate soldier, not a Union soldier. And it happened to be his only son.
Oh.
And he didn't know that his son had joined the Confederate Army. But his son had been studying music in the South when he was in the war. And so he went to his superiors and he begged, that they give him a funeral. And they said no, because he was an enemy. But they would give him one musician to play at a very simple funeral. So he chose a bugler. And in the pocket of his son's uniform, he found some musical notes. So he gave the notes to the bugler. And then during the funeral, all the soldiers just wept and wept because it was such a beautiful, haunting melody. And it happened to be Taps. Huh. So they've played it ever since to every funeral.
Yeah. How about that? And I think most people don't know that story. Yeah. And it's a compelling way to remember why we play this. And it is haunting. And you wouldn't think that a lone instrument could do that with such a simple melody as well. But it does something, and it rakes at your heart when you hear it.
One man, I was doing it for a large group of World War II veterans, and, you know, they're all now in their late 80s and early 90s, and he was in full military uniform. He was in a wheelchair, and I started doing it, and towards the end, he was crying. Mm. And at the end, when I did Taps, and they did da-da-da-da-da, you know, did the tap, he struggled to get out of his wheelchair, and he stood, and he saluted me with tears streaming down his face.
Yeah.
And so I rushed off stage, gave him a huge hug. We both cried. And it was the best moment I've ever had in performing.
Yeah. So what does your weekend look like? You must have a full calendar.
Oh, my gosh. I'm performing on Sunday at the Jazz Festival in Mission Viejo. And opening the whole jazz festival with that, you know, right after they do the Pledge of Allegiance and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Monday, I do a big show out in Thousand Oaks area to a man who used to open his whole thing with Taps, and he just died. So I'm going to be doing Taps for them, and then his son is going to be playing the bugle. And then I just did a thing at the Reagan Library for the Vietnam veterans. And then I'm going to be doing another one for the Gulf War veterans. And, I mean, I just do it all. And I do it all pro bono.
Yeah.
All pro bono. I won't take a dime. So anybody out there, if you ever want me to come and perform and
And she doesn't sound like this, folks. No, this is not her regular voice. Are you concerned that you're not going to get your voice back in time?
Oh, no. You know, because when I do Taps, I did it the other day with even worse voice than this.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do it, the story itself is so fabulous that people are not listening to my voice. They're listening to the story. And when I do it on stage with the dramatic reading that I do and the movements that I'm doing on stage and the music behind it.
Right.
No, it doesn't matter.
Even the simple version you did here, I was lost in an imaginary version in my imagination. You know, not so much the words like you said, but I could picture it.
Yeah.
And how much longer do you get to keep the crown? Are you almost done with your reign?
June 14th, and I'll tell you, it has been so fabulous, you know, to do this. And it isn't even so much, you know, that you get to be this queen. When you're I'm 68.
Yes.
And I get to represent women that, you know, that are my age. And people think when you're a senior that, you know, oh, please, you know, they're just old women or whatever. But the age of elegance is fabulous. You are, you know.
And you look fabulous.
Thank you.
Dr. Gayla Jackson, Ms. Senior California, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And that's it for the show. We can't wait to talk to you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
Yay!
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8.
Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.